Okay. Just to answer some of Pat's objections. In John 4, he talks about eating meat and drinking water, and that they're metaphors. Well, yes, they are. But it's obvious from the text that they're metaphors. I mean, Jesus says, about having some meat, and the disciples say, well, where did you get this meat? He says, well, I'm talking about doing the will of my Father. He explained it to them. And Pat said, well, Jesus didn't explain every time the disciples misunderstood. But what I said, he didn't really answer what I said. I said that every time he was speaking figuratively and they misunderstood him, he explained it. Now, did they understand everything all at once? Like Pat said in Acts 1 verse 6, they misunderstood about Jesus coming. They thought he was going to be a physical king, a political king. And he didn't explain that to them right then. Well, what happened 9 days later? The Holy Spirit came and explained everything to them, didn't he? But again, he wasn't speaking figuratively in this instance. He was speaking literally. And when he spoke literally, sometimes if they didn't quite understand him, as in Acts 1, when they didn't understand about the kingdom, he might have explained it, he might not have. But every time he spoke metaphorically, symbolically, and they misunderstood him, he explained it. And again, John 4, about Jesus having meat to eat, and the disciples didn't understand. He explained it right there. Pat was actually making my point for me. 1 Corinthians 11, that Paul says, well, this bread, you know, that he said the bread. Well, again, transubstantiation. The appearance remains the same. Looks like bread, tastes like bread, feels like bread, but the substance changes. It is actually the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. So to call it bread, we still call it the Eucharistic bread, the Eucharistic wine. That proves nothing that Paul called it the bread after it had been blessed in 1 Corinthians 11. I mean, look at what else he said. He completely ignored the other parts of that passage where he says, if you eat unworthily and drink unworthily, basically you are drinking and eating judgment upon yourself. You're condemning yourself. You're guilty of the body and blood of Jesus Christ. How can you be guilty of the body and blood of Jesus Christ if it's not the body and blood of Jesus Christ? How? Back to John 4. And again, forgive me for bouncing around, but I'm just trying to follow Pat's arguments as I was writing them down. I mentioned the two Greek words, theo, which means to eat, and is quite often used symbolically, sometimes in Scripture, but throughout Greek literature, and trogo, which means to gnaw, to chew, to crunch. Pat says, well, every word can be used symbolically. Well, yes, it can be. But the fact is, it never was in ancient Greek. Whenever they spoke symbolically, they used theo, which is the word Jesus used up until John 6:53. Pat pointed out, well, hey, he used the same word in John 4 that he used in John 6:53, theo. Yeah, so what? That's my point, too. He did. But then in John 6:54... and following through 58, 59, he used the word trogo. He changed. The Jews were upset by what he was saying. He was saying, eat my body, drink my blood. And the word he was using, phago, could have been taken symbolically, although they obviously didn't, if you look at the context. And so what did Jesus do? Did he make it easier on them to understand? Did he make it easier for them to take it as a symbolic meaning? No, he ratcheted things up a notch or two by changing the word trogo. The writer changed it to trogo. Gnaw, crunch, really eat up this body and this blood. It wasn't figurative. And the word trogo, again in Greek, was never used symbolically. Yes, theoretically, I suppose it could be, but it wasn't. Whenever they spoke about eating symbolically, they always used the word phago. Here in John 6:54 and following, the word is trogo. Much more intense eating. Again, back to 1 Corinthians 11:27. He kept harping on this about how, well, Paul says it's the bread. We eat this bread. Again, got no problem with that. Catholics have no problem with that. We understand that it still looks like bread, tastes like bread. So for them to use the language bread and wine, we still use the language. The Eucharistic bread, the Eucharistic wine, the bread and wine of the altar. We still use language like that, but we understand it is the body and blood of Jesus Christ. And if you continue reading in Paul in 1 Corinthians 11, the verses that we're talking about here, 26, 27, 28, you see that he's talking about the body of blood. The body and blood of Jesus is present. Really, literally, figuratively. Else you could not be guilty of the body and blood if it wasn't there. A few other examples of this, people in the early church calling it the bread, even though they knew it was the body and blood. St. Justin Martyr, this is around in the 2nd century, early to mid-2nd century. For not as common bread and common drink do we receive these, but in like manner as Jesus Christ our Savior, having been made flesh by the Word of God, had both flesh and blood for our salvation. So likewise, if we've been taught that the food which is blessed by the prayer of His Word, and from which our blood and flesh by transmutation are nourished, is the flesh and blood of that Jesus who was made flesh. St. Ignatius, early 2nd century, around 110 AD. Heretics abstain from Eucharist and from prayer because they do not confess that the Eucharist is the flesh of our Savior, Jesus Christ. St. Irenaeus of Lyon, 195 AD. He, Jesus, has declared the cup a part of His creation to be His own blood, from which He causes our blood to flow. And the bread, he uses the word bread, a part of creation. He has established as His own body, from which He gives increase to our bodies. So again, the fact that Paul uses the word bread in 1 Corinthians 11 has absolutely no bearing and no weight on this discussion whatsoever. As Catholics, we still use that terminology. We have no problem with the terminology. So it didn't have to be bread and then turn to Jesus' flesh and then back to bread. I think that's what he was saying. I think why people were shaking their heads. They didn't really follow what he's saying. One other thing. A couple other things. He talked about origin. And Tertullian didn't believe in transubstantiation, that it was the real blood and real body of Christ. He quoted Tertullian. Having taken bread and having distributed it to his disciples, he made it his own body by saying, "This is my body, that is the figure of my body." And he stopped right there. Should have read the next sentence. A figure, however, there could not have been unless there was in truth a body. Origen, he picked some quote from Origen. He didn't pick some other quotes from Origen. Origen talks about how you have received the body of the Lord, you reverently exercise every care, let the particle of it fall. Why? If it's just mere bread. And Origen elsewhere says, formerly in an obscure way there was manna for food. Now, however, in full view there is the true food, the flesh of the Word of God, as He Himself says, "My flesh is truly food, and my blood is truly drink." And who else but Martin Luther, no friend of the Catholic Church, says this. Who but the devil, talking about Christ's words in John 6, who but the devil hath granted such license of wresting the words of Holy Scripture? Whoever read in the Scriptures that my body is the same as the sign of my body? It is only the devil that imposeth upon us by these fanatical men. Not one of the fathers, though so numerous, ever spoke thus. They are all of them unanimous. Unanimous in believing that it is the real body and blood of Jesus Christ, not a symbol. One other thing. In John 6, if we look at verses 30 and 31, Jesus talked about the manna in the desert. What a miracle it was. But it's obvious, beginning in verse 32 and going on in verse 58, that he's talking here about something more miraculous than the manna in the desert. the miracle of God feeding Israelites with the manna in the desert. Jesus is talking about something more miraculous than that here. Is do you gather on Sunday and you have the Lord's Supper? Is that more miraculous than the manna from heaven? Just eating some bread and drinking some grape juice? I don't think so.